You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back live, and we've got my good friend Danny Santos on. Hey, Danny, by the way, thanks for going out with me the Warren Henry Supercar thing. What'd you think about that?
Oh, that was a blast. And it was actually a special treat when we saw the Zinn family bring in their 2000 GT Toyotas.
Tell them a little bit about that. That was up on Facebook. What's so cool about that?
Oh, those are actually very special cars. So Toyota came out, and they wanted to show that they could actually compete with the big boys. So they created this beautiful car, and actually what they did is they put it out on the James Bond movie.
Oh, totally cool.
Yeah, and then Sean Connery couldn't get in because he was too tall. So they actually cut the roof so he can get in, and this is the actually only Bond movie where the girl is actually driving the car.
Well, you know, both of the Zinn brothers, Warren and my friend from high school, Robert, they were the two guys that had the cars. And so if you want to see great stuff like that, you go out with us to the Warren Henry Supercar Saturday. It'll be the next second week next month and then second week of every month. But that's not why we're here today. So, Danny, first of all, I want to set the table. Tell a little bit about yourself, your brother, your team, because there's something that makes you guys extra special, and it's not just the great service you provide.
Oh, yeah. So my team, they're all ex-veterans, and we're not just regular grunts. I mean, we've got fighter jet mechanics, we've got helicopter mechanics, tank, nuclear sub guys. So we all bring something special to the table. They're all master craftsmen, and we just love to work on cars, and we just have fun.
Now, we met at the Marlins ballpark at the Race of Champions, and you know, we really got into that. It was an awesome event.
Oh, yeah.
But tell me a little bit about how somebody could go about, you know, getting into the car of their dreams. I mean, I see these guys go out and they look for the dead, you know, cars and the different lots and stuff like that. But does somebody have to start like that, or do they have to buy something complete, or what's really the process? Help somebody go through the process of how they get their dream car.
Well, first is understanding your budget, right? Because you can get an older Camaro that you can just modify and touch up here and there. And then 90%, I think, of the people out there have that little dream car they've been working on for the last 20 years. You know, save a little bit, buy a part, put it in, try to make it a little bit faster. And then you get also the opposite end of the spectrum where you have someone coming in said, this is what I've always wanted. Here's a blank check. Make it happen.
Well, how about somebody in the middle like me? I know I want to get a GTO or a Barracuda. Maybe we can go find one in a scrapyard somewhere and start building that out. Let's say I go to the scrapyard. I get the shell for a Barracuda or a GTO or even something that's not that spectacular. What should somebody expect to start out with as an investment to start the process?
Well, so actually that is a misconception.
Oh.
You don't want to start out with something from the scrapyard. You want the best possible canvas to begin with. You know, get a car that's been left around sitting there, but that there's no rust. The body is straight. Because those are the biggest cost expenses there. Mm-hmm. Something that I can work with that's already built, it's easier to do, easier to find parts, easier to get there, and it's easier on your wallet.
So then, for instance, we could get together. I could say, this is what I'm looking for. We could go online. We could find a couple of them on Auto Trader or whatever. Is that the way you start?
Well, here's an example, right? So let's go out and find the 65 Mustangs, which are really hot right now. You could probably pick one up for maybe $12,000 to $15,000. That's fairly straight with a V6 that nobody really wanted. You know, we get a nice car. We go out to, say, example, Copart and find a wrecked 2015 Mustang for maybe another $5,000 to $10,000. We bring it in, pull out all the suspension, all the engine and the transmission, and transplant it over to your 65. So you not have a 2015 Mustang that looks like a 1965 for about $20,000 to $25,000.
Okay, you just made me speechless. Okay, so now we've done the Mustang. Let's say that I want to buy something today. Let's say I buy a brand new Mustang. Buy the Mustang. I got the stock Mustang. I got it everything. It's not the whole gassed up one. It's just a baseline one. Can you help me take that to the next level?
Oh, absolutely.
What would the process be there?
Well, the new Mustangs are really great cars, the way they started. So the way to do it is just a little bit more horsepower. Either put a turbocharger or a supercharger in it, and you're pretty much set to go. A little bit of programming to make sure it's still reliable, and you can just hit the track the next day.
Does this void the warranty?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, now that we've got that out of the way, is there a way to stay within the lines and work with somebody so that I don't void the warranty, or do I just get something that's maybe 3 years old and go that direction?
That is definitely a possibility. But so some of the manufacturers, for example, Ford, will sell you a Roush or a Saline vehicle on the, out of their dealership mm-hmm. that's already supercharged. You're paying the very big premium for it, but it's fully warrantied.
Okay, but that sounds like a great way to go, too. I want to take a step back and talk about your team. Give me a couple shout-outs to your team members and specifically what their background is, because a nuclear sub-engineer or a guy that worked on a helicopter or a jet engine, I already met the guy that worked on the jet engine. I kept having to go up to him and scream.
So actually, so this entire setup has just been me trying to follow my dream, and I haven't seen my little brother regularly for close to 20 years. He's been on so many deployments. So this was me just saying, you know, let's give it a shot. Get our own hot rod shop going. So he is a fighter jet mechanic. He's worked a little over 12 years in the Navy, went over to Lockheed Martin, did another 10 years working on F-5 fighter jets. And now is my first opportunity to get him to see him put that knowledge into cars. It is amazing to see him work on things, just intuitively know what to do. One of our other guys, his name is Meyer, and he was just another genius, worked on Humvees. And he also did NASCAR trucks and just regular awesome mechanic.
Now, one of the things I wanted to bring out in the interview is, what'd you do before you were in the supercar biz?
Nothing anywhere near that. I've always been a car guy. I've been building cars on my own since 15. I started in technology. I was designing satellite systems for the cruise lines. I stopped cold turkey, needed to learn finance, got my MBA at the University of Miami, and went over to Merrill Lynch and ultimately Morgan Stanley, where I was manning institutional money for most of the companies and nonprofits down here in South Florida.
So it sounds to me like you're pretty much like a lot of your customers, and that's the number one thing. It sounds to me like you can relate to the guys that come in, and the ladies. A lady come in too, no?
Oh, no, absolutely.
And they come in and they want to get something, they can place their order, and you know how to speak to them in their own language.
Yes, and I understand what their needs are, especially when it comes to structuring financing for the more complex builds, dealing directly with their advisors, understanding the structures that might be better for them to move and when to move the money. So, yeah.
And so how much could something conceivably cost if somebody really wanted to go, I don't want to say out of their mind, but we talked about something people can get into for $20,000 to $25,000. Let's say somebody wants to get something that's in the $50,000 to $75,000 range. Is that financeable with a bank?
Depends on your bank. I've been approached by several banks that are willing to do that kind of financing. But again, look, with every financing, it's based on your credit. What's the collateral on it? They're probably going to collateralize the actual car itself. Mm-hmm. The best bet is, if you're going to do any project like this, is to get a very good appraiser who can actually appraise the true value of the car now and then the loss replaceable value of the car that the bank can use, and also the insurance company for if something happens, for you to be able to get the money for it.
Well, you know, can you stick around? Because I want to do another segment. I'm going to talk about the kind of dream car you'd build for yourself. So, Wanda, if you could stick around, we want to keep Danny. Can you stick around?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Well, stick around. We're going to talk to Danny about his personal dream car and how he'd get that done. And we're going to do that right after we take a short break and play some rock and roll music. Have a good time, but you'll still learn something you can use right away to help make life a little more exciting. Wanda, take it away.
Right on. The way you popped your car sideways at a wooden mast. It's the other kind of person that believes in making out once.